We're really happy to have Berta Bauer in the studio, and Berta has just completed her first novel, and that is just big, isn't it?
No kidding. I mean, like I said earlier, I don't know if you were listening earlier, Berta, but I said, you know, it's hard enough to write about what really happened, but to make something up and make it sound real seems like it'd be way harder.
I'm good at making things up.
So good for you. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's just fabulous, Berta. And I should introduce you in. Berta Bauer, along with their husband, Tim, have a contracting business here in Cook County, have for many years. Berta also has her own occupation as a life counselor, a life coach. A lighthouse coaching. You know, I'm not sure exactly how you say it.
Lighthouse coaching and retreats.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. And you've been doing that for some time too. And to squeeze in something else, something as major as writing a novel, I'm pretty impressed, Berta.
Well, actually, the novel came first. I started that in 2006, and I really didn't have an intention of publishing this. It was just this story that just kept morphing in my head, and I finally just got tired of it, and I started to write it just as a way to, okay, get it out. Let's do something new. But I think I've always had that part in me, this creative. Here's my story that I think is kind of funny, is when I first learned to read and write in first grade, I wrote books for my first grade teacher. So I think that there's that creative thing going on, and it just has always been there. So.
You've always enjoyed writing then.
I have, yeah.
Did you take that in college too? Was English one of your majors? Or?
Oh, no? Crazy. No, I actually... when I went to college, you had to declare a major right away, and I declared agriculture journalism. I went to the University of Minnesota School of Agriculture, and but before I got there, I switched majors to education, and then when I was there, I switched to business, and but it is really funny because I realized way later that I would have been best suited to stay with the journalism. And so, yeah, I don't know what made me switch, but eventually, I think that's kind of what I meant, is that it all comes back around, and I think somehow I was just meant to write this, although I didn't know that.
At the time, you had no concept that you would be heading back in that direction.
No.
Yeah, wow. Now, this story you said had been running through your head for some time, so you started this novel with a clear idea of where you want it to go. Is it outline in your head?
No.
Okay.
No, and where it started and where it is now, five years later, is kind of a surprise to me.
Okay.
I wrote it, and when I got done with it, I was just kind of exhausted, and I needed to leave it alone for a while. And I don't know if it was 3 or 6 months later, but it was quite a while later that I went back and I read it. And I really didn't like the main character. And I mean, I was at this point, it was like, well, that was just a big waste of time. Left it alone for a little while, and I kept thinking about it, and I went, well, you know, I really do like most of the story, but there were certain things about this character. And what I realized was that a lot of the qualities of this character were things within myself that I really wasn't all that excited about or proud of. And so it was a process of rewriting. You know, I kind of think that as this character became somebody I really liked, I kind of stepped into and took some responsibilities for changing the things in my own life that I wasn't happy with and that I wanted to, you know, do and be different and all that than what I had in the past. So,
and much of this, much of your novel, you know, takes shape from your own life. I mean, your own surroundings, I should say, because it takes place on Lake Superior. A big part of it has to do with sailing, which you and Tim have loved to do for a long time. And also your occupation as a life coach comes out in the main character in the novel.
Yes. And that's part of this. The originally, this character was pretty dependent on others for her livelihood and well-being and all that. And that's kind of one of those things that I stepped back and I was like, well, is that what I want to be and what I want to do? And it wasn't. And so it was kind of an easy segue to make her a life coach, because it is something you can do anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so her name is Kara McKee, and she is, she and her husband have gone to the Caribbean, and he's had an accident. She's a widow. And, you know, how do you support yourself basically sailing around the Caribbean? I mean, you have to be able to do something that, you know, is feasible. And life coaching is something that is feasible. So that's kind of how...
character credibility then.
Yeah.
You know, because it's feasible to do that.
Yeah.
And, it's a very romantic novel. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's that thread that follows right through to the end with a big surprise at the end, which, of course, we're not going to talk about that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But also worked into that is a lot of life's lessons that are part of your coaching when you deal with folks that come to you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the interesting thing is that what I've learned coaching is, and I love saying this, is I don't know anything. I really don't. We're quite similar then. Yeah. I used to, especially with raising children, I used to think that I knew everything and I knew what was right for them and all of that. And what I've learned, what I'm realizing is I don't. As a coach, I have questions. And those questions are because I don't know, and I need to help them dig and find, because they really do know. But as far as the book goes, she's in a position where she's really quite uncomfortable doing the coaching. So it's kind of interesting. And it's a mystery. There are a lot of I don't even know how to explain, but just there's a mystery with her, mystery with the other two main characters, Rick and Dutch. And they all kind of come together in very interesting and different ways. I didn't even know. I was actually quite surprised as I was writing. It was like, oh, hey, this will work. And so it's kind of fun.
There's a lot of characterization, and you know, you have your main characters in here. You're not being bombarded by a whole bunch of people in this. The main characters are eventually who's there. Was it difficult to develop a pattern so that characterization flows through the novel, stays the same, develops in the way that you want to? Is there a lot of work to make that happen?
It's that again is kind of almost fascinating how it happened. And I have my husband Tim has continuing education classes every year in Duluth. And so we always go down there and spend the night. And then he leaves at 7 in the morning and I have until checkout at 11 to do whatever. And one of those times I brought my computer down and I was writing. And I had heard on Minnesota Public Radio, Carrie Miller has Talking Volumes, and she interviews authors. And this author had said that when you get an idea, so she's speaking to the audience, and Carrie Miller asks her, what one suggestion can you give? And she said, when you have an idea, when it comes to you, it came to you at that moment because it needs to be written right now. And she said, we have a tendency to go, oh, that's a great idea, write it down, set it aside, and think that we're going to go back and write it later. And I think that was the biggest thing was that when I had an idea, when something came to me, it was, okay, just trust that this is the right thing to write. So I wrote this scene in the book, and I just kept thinking, this has nothing to do with the story, absolutely nothing to do with the story. And so the first few people that I had read the book, I would tell them, okay, there's a scene in here, and I don't think I should have it in here. I think I should delete it out, but I'm not going to tell you which one it is. So after they read it, and they were giving me feedback. I'd say, okay, is there a scene that you think should be deleted? And they kind of would say no. And I was like, seriously? And I'd ask them specifically about this scene. And not only did they say no, they went on to say that that was one of the strongest scenes and that it helped with the developing of characters. So to answer your question, it was always a surprise to me because somehow I had this scene and it was a couple weeks or longer before I kind of went back to it. And I just kept thinking, you know, how is that even have anything to do with this story? And all of a sudden I'm up kind of going, okay, I'm going to put this part to this part. Because the story had been rambling around in my head so often, I didn't write it like from beginning to end. I was just like, oh, I feel like writing this today. But in my head, I knew the chronological, the way that it progressed. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, so this scene that was just kind of floating up in the air, and I had no idea what I was going to do with it. I was trying to connect two other scenes, and all of a sudden, it was just like, oh, the idea again came to me, and it was like, this is the connection to get this scene in. And then I had to connect this strange scene, or it's not even strange, it's just that it was just, it didn't seem to have anything to do with my story. Then I had to connect, you know, if I got it in, then I had to connect it to the next. And again, I was, it's just so funny how the ideas, they come to you, and you just,
you got to go with them.
You just have to go with them. It's really, it's, I suppose in the same respect, it's kind of like, if you have any sort of problem, I always think like of a building problem, a construction, you know, building houses or whatever. And you kind of go, okay, well, if we do this, and you sit there and you think about it, and all of a sudden the idea comes. And it's the same way with mm-hmm. writing.
Do you find that it would happen to me, I know, that because you know the story so well, you know the characters so well, that maybe in your own mind you don't lay enough foundation out for the person reading it because you assume they know?
Oh, you know what?
Is that a part of it?
Yeah, actually. And I had a lot of excellent feedback. And the other part was that I have no idea how many revisions I have, but I will tell you that in the last year, the number of revisions, a big box that you get oranges or apples in at the grocery mm-hmm. store, those
crate.
Big crates, I have it filled with printed out revisions. Mm-hmm. And that's just in the last, I think last year and a half. So a lot of the difficulty is that I'm reading a scene and I am going, now, did I already say this? Oh, I need to write this again. And then I would repeat myself, and then I'd find it later. And so it was...
Yeah. Keeping all the strands in where they belong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And one of the things I kind of laugh at is, in some respects, if I could choose the most difficult way to do this, I'm sure I did.
Well, it's your first time, and it's so impressive that... one, that you had the fortitude to stay with this. You started this kind of in 2006, you said?
Yes.
And now it's 2012, and you've got it published, Balboa Press. Are they helping you market the book then?
Yeah, actually, I was just hanging up posters before I got here, uh-huh. And that's part of the... It is self-published. It is... Balboa Press is a division of Hay House Publishing, and they're... I don't want to say motto. They're a publisher that only accepts body, mind, spirit genre books.
Okay.
A lot of their authors are professional people, coaches, counselors, medical doctors, that sort of thing. And they are starting to do a lot more fiction as well. Mm-hmm. Part of the package is marketing. So they've done an absolutely beautiful job with posters and flyers and business cards and bookmarkers and helping me with doing book readings. And
they help line up the different places that you can go down and promote your book then?
They give you a lot of ideas. A lot of that is up to me.
Okay. So you're going to be out on the road quite a bit.
I am going to be, yeah.
Now, you have a book signing coming up, and that's Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
Right here in Grand Marais.
Yeah.
That's at the community education.
Higher education.
Higher ed.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's kind of fun. I was really working to get this published before Christmas and driving myself and Tim absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. And his idea, which was just so smart, and I so so happy to have him as such a support of this whole project. Mm-hmm. But my book starts, actually, instead of calling it prologue, I just call it May 1st, 2007. The book starts May 1st, 2007 and ends May 28th, 2007. So it all happens within a month's time. But at any rate, Tim said to me, as I was driving him absolutely crazy, he said, "Why don't you just have the debut on May 1st? And it was like, oh, of course, how smart. So anyhow, Tuesday night is a little maybe a peculiar, you know, usually you might want to do that on a weekend. But it was really the synchronicity. And the other thing that is kind of interesting is that May 1st, 2007 is a Tuesday. And so I thought, well, you know, it just had to be. Hmm. It had to be since this May 1st is a Tuesday as
what,
well.
What time is it?
It's at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And so I'll do some, do a little bit of reading, answer any questions, and then do the signing, and we'll have refreshments as well.
Tim mentioned that he's read that book about 11 times.
I think he was minimizing that.
Oh, yeah, well.
More than 11.
Yeah. Way more than 11. Yeah.
After I read the book, thoroughly enjoyed it. I noticed that there's a few extra pages there because you have a sequel in mind.
I do. I have a sequel and possibly a prequel. Not sure if I... We'll just see how that goes. Mm-hmm. But the story ends, and no stories ever totally end. And the next story is basically going to be more about the next generation and the previous generation.
Okay.
So
it'll
be kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, as I said, you know, you've picked a lot of facets of your life. And I was really impressed, too, by the sailing knowledge that comes out in this book as well. Some of those things I didn't know a lot of those terms. Had to figure out.
Yeah, and I had people who kind of thought possibly I should put in a diagram of a boat, and I also and a glossary of sailing terms, and but I decided to just try to explain the terms and as I went and make that kind of part of the story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could figure it out from the way it was explained. So if I could, Berta, nobody's going to have a problem, that's for sure. Well, we both want to congratulate you on,
boy,
a job well done and perseverance and talent. And just taking the time in your life to do something like this, pretty big. We all dream about writing a book, or at least at some point you say, geez, I'd like to write that story. But you don't do it. You actually went out and completed it.
You know what? And I have a history of not completing projects.
So you must feel really good about this.
Exactly. And it was one of the things, you know, I remember back to grade school and parents going to teacher conferences, and it's like, that was, you know, a common thread through a lot of these conferences. And so it has been kind of one of my goals in my life to look at all the projects I have. Am I going to complete it, get rid of it, or complete it, mm-hmm. and don't take on another thing? And so, you know, you mentioned my coaching, and I have been doing coaching, but I really am now that this is done, ready to pursue that more. But I just kind of needed to... You know, I didn't want to derail, and I didn't want to just let it go.
Whereabouts can folks find your book in town here or elsewhere?
Oh, okay. Well, Birch Bark Gallery, and actually, that's my next
little project.
Thread. What I'll be working on this weekend is I am going to be going to gift shops in the county, and I'm hoping to get it in, you know, basically I always said from Thunder Bay all the way around to Ashland.
There you go.
Gift shops and bookstores. And but you can go on to my website, BertaBauer.com, and there are a link to where you can buy it. You can get it online from Balboa Press. It's at Amazon.com, and it is also at Barnes & Noble. It is available in ebook as well as hardcover and softcover.
Great.
So, and then if I can make one more mention, Anna Hess, my friend, artist Anna Hess from Lutzen, Minnesota, she painted a painting for us, which she allowed me to use on the cover, and it is absolutely beautiful and stunning.
And the name of the book is Jeannie's Bottle, and as we said earlier, Berta will be at the Cook County Higher Ed at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening. That's May 1, for those folks that would like to come and have their book signed.
Yes.
And you'll probably have other opportunities coming up. Once again, we want to thank you for coming to join us here tonight, Berta.
Well, thank you so much
thank
for
you,
having
Berta.
Me. This is great.
And best luck with the whole process.
Thank you.
Berta Bauer.